Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to The DM with Audrey Brianne and Tyree.
Last week, we reviewed the film Wicked, which you should definitely check out.
And on this week's episode, we have an interview with costume designer Alana Morrishead. Today, we have a very special guest. Their work includes Do Revenge, Something from Tiffany's, Equals, Relay, and so much more. Alana, can you please tell us what drew you to costume design and how your journey in the industry began?
Hey, guys. Well, wow. I feel like everyone has such a different way of getting in the industry, and every story is so interesting in how they came about it. I actually didn't know what I wanted to do for the longest time. In school, in college, I was a communications major where, you know, like stalling to figure out what I want to do. But I did notice that all of my electives were film classes, and I love, love, love film. And I always love clothes, but I didn't want to particularly be a fashion designer. But my first job was McDonald's drive-through, and I saved every paycheck and I bought everything, you know, I spent all the money on my clothes. Like, I just loved clothes, but I grew up in England and it wasn't really something to perceive or aspire to be, or at least where I'm from, to like work in the film industry or be a costume designer. I didn't really know what a costume designer did. Mm-hmm. So anyway, when I realized I loved all these film classes, I ended up going to film school after that and I was pursuing directing and editing. And then when I got out of film school, I needed a job desperately. I was 25 and had a lot of debt from school. Somebody asked me if I wanted to be a celebrity stylist assistant. And it was basically, you know, I took her dogs to the vet. I schlepped clothes all over the city. It was extremely labor intensive, as all assistants know. And then while I was doing that, a friend of mine, she was working for Apple doing commercials. Like, Apple just does tons of commercials, like test commercials. And so they invited me over to do that, doing commercials. I'd never done commercial assisting. So I started assisting on Apple commercials for about a year. And then other stylists will refer me. And I just started being an assistant, and I was still pursuing my film career. And then I started getting my own jobs, and it just kind of snowballed into one day I was a costume designer and realized that that was such a good blend for me with my love of clothes and also working in film. So that's how I got into it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, cool. I was, when you were saying McDonald's, I was like, that is, you are a champion. Like just to start like getting your wardrobe together to like do a job like that. I was like, she was committed.
Well, it was the only place I could walk to from my parents' house. I didn't need a car. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I can just walk down the hill, and it's, you know, I was in the drive-thru with my little headset. It was great.
That's so funny. So my next question is about one of your particular works. It's and it's just a kind of fun one that I threw in here. I've never asked any costume designer this. I was just curious, did you see a lot of Do Revenge Halloween costumes the year the film was released? And what does that do for you to see your ideas or designs so well received by the public?
Oh my gosh. It was everywhere. That Halloween. Oh my gosh. I mean, that is like, for me, a dream when you work on a project to one day, I bring this up, like, this is their Halloween costume look. This is like the iconic thing they remember. I didn't expect the uniform to take off like that. And I just couldn't believe it. I like commented on everyone, like, amazing, you look fantastic. I was so impressed with how these people made them. And they put their own spin on it. I mean, the commitment of like groups, like seeing these people together, like wearing, I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. I was so touched. It was incredible. It was absolutely amazing to see. I'm so flattered to anyone who did that. Thank you. So I saw all of them, by the way.
We talked to so many interesting people who've done so much work. And I was like, I can't believe I haven't asked that of anyone yet. Cause a lot of you guys are doing iconic things that do get mimicked and like parroted over Halloween. So I love your answer. That's great to know that, like, the people out there that you were like, you saw what they were doing.
I saw everything and I loved it. Yeah. Phenomenal. No notes.
That's so cool. So can you describe your process when you first approach a project or like a new project, from like script or like mood boards? What is your process?
Yeah. So when I get a script initially, I just go in. I usually don't really know anything about it. For me, when I start reading, I just start seeing almost the movie in my head, or if specific like pictures or things or colors, like things just start to kind of come alive. And I always just make boards based on my initial, like the very first thing I think of. I just make boards, even if it's wrong, it doesn't end up, it's still a conversation, like get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the director or will have made a lookbook that I can kind of go off, or in the script there'll be notes where it's very specific to wardrobe. But even if there are, like, she what comes in wearing a red leather jacket, mm-hmm. that could be a direct, they could be like, no, this is the jacket, this is what we're doing. And I will pitch if I think something might work better, like, hey, I know this in the script, but what about this, or let's try this. So I put together my own boards with the main characters and color palettes for the main characters and their character arcs, and see this is how we start with them. And then as we move through the script, this is how we end on them, how their costume has evolved and changed. And it's a constant evolving progress. Like, I will first work with the director, and then sometimes actors will be like, okay, whatever you think, like, dress me. And other people have very specific input. So making sure everybody feels good about it. Like, I feel creatively that it's right. The actor feels comfortable. The director feels like we're creating their vision correctly. So it's a huge collaboration. And just the more research and the more pictures and the more fabrics and the more colors, the better that you can just everyone get on the same page.
That's so cool. Yeah. And we're going to dig in a little more into your process, because we would love to know what is it like striving to get trends right and relevant in lieu of release timeframe and the fast pace of the fashion industry?
That's a tough one. I think for me, the key is always to not be so trendy where, you know, it will turn over very quickly. Like, because usually the movie's not coming out for a year or 2 years even. And it's just trying to make it current, but also not so trendy that it's going to feel a bit dated by the time it comes out.
So would you say you're avoiding fads? Like, yes, avoid those and go more for like longevity?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do. Unless it's a very specific character who that trope, then okay. But overall, yeah, just try not to make it too trendy.
Heading back to Do Revenge a little, were there any films or fashion errors that or designers that heavily influenced your approach to the looks in the film?
Oh my goodness. So many. I think the biggest thing for me, especially for Drea, was the George Michael, what's the one with the supermodels? Is it Freedom?
Mm-hmm.
Music video? Yeah, that music video is iconic. And the 90s supermodels, I had so much, like Claudia Schiffer, Linda Evangelista, definitely movies that inspired us was Clueless, Romeo and Michelle, and also those designers, Mona May, you know, it was iconic with her looks. And the 90s supermodels was the biggest thing for me. I loved it. The hair, the makeup, everything was just perfection.
How much does runway influence play in your job and research just on any given project?
Not so much. You know, it's like, again, runway feels a bit current unless the character is someone who is very wealthy, just very into fashion. If the character is very into fashion, then yeah, we want to have like what just came off the runway, what is like hot right now, but not so much for me, really.
Can you talk about the use of colors and silhouettes that distinguish the characters like Drea and Eleanor?
Yeah. Well, for Drea, we stayed with the more cooler tones, like blues and jewel tones. and a bit more structured with her silhouettes. And then for Eleanor, we lean towards the more twiggy, like 60s warm colors, yellows, mustards, oranges, reds, and a bit looser, a bit more flowy, free flowing.
As soon as you said that, like 70s vibe, I'm thinking of the scene where Eleanor is, I want to say that it's her birthday party scene, her surprise birthday party scene, or, you know, no, it's not. It's the one where she wipes the lipstick. That outfit she had on, I think it was floral and kind of like mock net. It just looked very like twiggy. And I was like, that was a great piece.
So many twiggy, it's so many twiggy photos too. And Maya looks so good in that like kind of style too.
Yeah.
So
she was gorgeous. That I just, that like stuck out to me as a moment that I really was paying attention to the fashion. Yeah.
Oh, good.
What's a genre you haven't yet worked on that you'd like to try in the future?
Gosh, I love maybe like a Western, you know, I mean, like a Western. I love sci-fi. Like I love, love, love sci-fi because you can just really, you know, create things with no bounds. Like there's no reference to the past. There's no getting it right or historically correct. You can just like the sky's the limit with that.
Cool. Transitioning over to another one of your great films, Something from Tiffany's. Was there a particular look or scene that you're especially proud of?
Yes, I loved that movie. It was such an amazing experience working on that. Definitely the look with Zoe in the green knit sweater and the brown faux fur coat.
Yeah.
Loved that. That was amazing. I love that whole look. That actually, we shot that in LA and there was a couple of days we were like 4 days we were doing in New York for the exteriors. And on the way flying over, she had another jacket that was really cool, but it just wasn't like, it wasn't it, you know, but it would have been great if we would have kept that one. Amazing. And so I just ended up going out in New York thrifting and I saw that jacket and it's vintage Barney's New York. And I just was like, this is the jacket. And we just swapped it like literally the day before, like swapped the jacket. And I'm so glad we did. It's like one of those things, just trusting your gut that you know you can find something a little bit better, you know?
Yeah. What do you do when you hit a creative wall? Like what things help bring you back?
Oh my gosh, that's a tough one. That happens a lot. I usually will either listen to music or I'll watch some movies that I'm really inspired by, or maybe watch movies that I've never seen before because it's just something new and fresh. And rereading the script really helps me too, because I'll miss things or things will pop up that, you know, I hadn't quite caught the first time. And so, yeah, so those, I think music and rereading and sometimes movies, if we have time. Usually I don't really have time for that, but even if I'm driving, just like having a solo drive and like listening to music, like things will just move a bit.
Yeah, because just the volume, the reason I, you know, we asked that is that the volume of wardrobe you're dealing with, I was like, how can you not perhaps on each job at some point hit a wall where you're like, this is just another shirt, this is just another pant, like where things are no longer maybe popping out as they tend to do for costume designers and stylists. So yeah, I was really excited to ask that question because it just seemed like something that would inevitably happen to anyone in the industry.
It totally does. And maybe you can get kind of in that frame of mind where, oh, it's just another jeans and t-shirt, it's just another, but to keep it interesting, you've got to find ways to work with the character. Like what, well, where was that shirt from? Like, even if it's just you make up things yourself, you know, to make it somewhat interesting. And maybe you don't tell the actor or tell anybody. It's just your own thing that you've made up that, you know, makes it a bit more special. Like, oh, this is his favorite shirt that his like ex-girlfriend gave him. And she's married and he stalks her on Instagram. And now, you know what I mean? I don't know.
I love the backstory though. I think that's fun.
That's kind of continuing in that. Speaking on holiday films, they're often warm and aspirational. How do you use costume to create these like magical winter moments or these magical moments?
I would say texture is probably the biggest thing. Like with something from Tiffany, I almost said Breakfast with Tiffany. Something. I was like, wait, which one did I do? I still have my calm brain. That's why I'm like,
oh, no worries.
Definitely textures. Like when we were going into that one, in prep, we had a lot of When Harry Met Sally, like old, like classic rom-coms that we love. And it was layers, but not, we didn't want it to get too busy with different patterns or styles. So everything, there's a lot of solids, but if you look close, it's a lot of textures, and that kind of made it pop a bit more. And it just had that like cozy feel, like, oh, this is like so snug with this like cashmere, like mock neck, you know, we wanted everything to be like, oh, I just want to like lay down and like snuggle in this, you know?
and I do have to call out one thing that I wanted to say. I think you did lovely on that film. Something from Tiffany's?
Yeah.
Zoe's character is, she owns that, the bakery. Like she's a baker. I love that you gave her clothing that seemed realistic to do that job in, because I don't know how many movies you see a chef or a baker in steam white outfits or just these looks that you're like, you are not rolling dough in that. So very early on, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I can believe that she does the job she says she does because of how she's dressed. She's not wearing a million rings and like just craziness while doing her job.
Absolutely. And that's something I'm particularly conscious of, because as a designer, you do find things where you really want them to see, you really want to showcase them. Like in Do Revenge, we had the most amazing shoes and purses, like unbelievable shoes that we had sourced. And it's so painful. Like it actually like hurts when you see, you know, and it's not right. It's not about us. It's about, you know, moving the story along. But that happens, like where you still have to be realistic, you know, because like there are so many things. I mean, Zoe looks good in everything. I could put her in, you know, amazing like jewelry and, you know, great blouses. But at the end of the day, like we're there to like really make this story. It's a collaborative effort. So I understand that. Thank you.
Beautiful job on it. I'm curious, what size team do you like to have when you're working? Like, are there certain parameters within the industry that you have to adhere by? Or what's the like, quote unquote, normal size of any given wardrobe crew?
I would say, I mean, it really depends on the movie. I mean, the core team, I'd say maybe it's about 8 people, 8 to 10. Okay. And then on big days, if there's large crowds or a lot of stunts, then maybe 20.
Wow.
But usually, I mean, they keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller, you know?
Yeah.
Good core, like 5 to 8 people that are every day with me.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's more than we've never really asked that question of the costume designers, and that I'm glad to hear that it's that many, because like if someone had asked me, I probably would have guessed 3 to 4, simply because I'd have been like maybe 2 assistants and then like your right hand. But yeah, like that's I love hearing that you have a big team. There's a lot of hands to help you out with those costumes, because there's so much going on, I'm sure.
Much. Yeah. And it really does depend on the budget and the pushback, you know, because initially you have to, and I've learned that, like really trying to like advocate for myself on how I can do the job my best. And, you know, I was very much in the beginning, my first film, it was me and a PA, that was it. Wow. And, you know, the budget was $1 million. And so it was a very small movie, but I wanted to design my first film. And so I have come up doing every position in the department by myself, and or having just one person, or just, you know. So now when I have like more people, it's amazing. I mean, everyone is so crucial on the team, like every position is just, so it's very lucky if you can have more people.
Cool. I'm really excited about this next film. So without giving too much away, what can you share about your experience designing for Relay?
Oh man, that was really fun. I love working in New York. I love Riz. Riz Ahmed is amazing. So is Lily. So is Sam. The cast was amazing. That was interesting because of Riz's character and who he is. He had so many costume changes, but his had to be kind of on the fly. He was changing in the scene a lot, which is really difficult for costumes to have it work like in one shot. He all of a sudden is just like changing and then gets rid of the jacket and pulls out a hat and puts this on. So there's so many moving pieces. I mean, that can get really difficult for the set costumers who are dealing with the continuity, just making sure like all the little accoutrements and pieces are accounted for, because there was just a lot going on in that. But It was very fun. I love working in New York. It's such a great city to film in. Shout out to my New York team. I love them. Wonderful, wonderful hard workers in costume workers in New York. They're a great team out there. And then, yeah, with Lily, it was cool because I love, love, love Lily James. And this was such a departure from what the film she's usually done. So It was fun to collaborate with her on this.
On this project, was there was there a particular challenge or new territory that excited you creatively?
God, I don't know. Was there? I think what was challenging in that was what I was just saying before about it. The constant changes, costume changes in camera. It wasn't like, okay, this is for this scene and then that's it. It was like three different changes in one scene, and they would have to roll into the next one. And plus, because we shoot out of sequence, we would have shot something that already happened and had to figure out, do you know what I mean? So it couldn't have been like, and I hate restricting actors that way, making it, but do you know what I mean? Like they'd have to end with this specific, you have to pull this hat out of the bag because we've already shot the next one, you're wearing it. And it's hard, you know, you don't want to like make, you know, force them into something, but it's also, they understand and know, but no one wants to be the one who makes the error that's already been shot, you know? And like, that was definitely a challenge.
The Starbucks cup in the background or something.
Iconic. I love it.
Okay, so last question. Can you tell our listeners where they can follow you, a little bit about your next maybe upcoming project and what's next for you?
Well, I don't have like a Instagram for my work. So you can, and I just have my website. I don't know. That doesn't sound very exciting though, does it? You can go to my website. So next up for me, I actually don't have anything lined up. I'm taking some time off with my baby that is now 9 months. Thank you. Yeah. So I don't have anything planned. I'm being a stay-at-home mom for a little bit, which I'm really enjoying.
Motherhood is going to impact your work. I don't know the answer to that, but it's an interesting thing to think about.
I mean, it's definitely already impacted it. I mean, I'm used to, you know, hey, can you get on a flight next week and go? Yeah. And now I'm like, what is it? Where is it? What's the, you know, I'm
definitely. It's gotta be pretty good if it's pulling you away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, something I can bring her with, you know, and my husband, like I said, he's a first AD. So we have just been like traveling around with him. We actually on Due Revenge. Oopsie. He was the first AD on Due Revenge.
I am so happy for you and him and your lovely little bundle of joy. They're about to be a year old. And just thank you so much for your time. This was like one of our really anticipated interviews. Like, we love everybody that we get to interview, but like you just, you made quite a mark for yourself and we enjoy your work. So it's fun to talk to someone that like you've seen their movies where you are like, no, this is actually.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us in another episode of The DM with Audrey Brienne and Tyree, where we interviewed costume designer Alana Morsehead. You'll find links to Alana's homepage and more in the description box below. A special thank you to Nearby Sound for our theme song.
If you enjoyed the show, please introduce a friend to our work and tell them to like and subscribe. Follow us on thedm.net or on Instagram at Audrey Brienne and at Tyree Style. The DM is produced by DB Sound, Audrey Brienne, and Tyree.